You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, this week I'm going to be speaking to you about a sound mind for purpose. You know, this year our theme has been around we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But we're finishing off the year with a couple of key messages on this, just to take you deeper as we dive into next year. And you know, if you want to write a title down, it can be a sound mind for purpose, or it could be how to keep a sound mind around Christmas and beyond. But the truth of the matter is, this is not just about Christmas. This is about your life journey of having a sound mind and not being at the beckoning of your mind. God's given you power to have authority over it. You know, the last couple of Sundays, we've been building on the truth that we all have purpose. God has given each and every single one of us purpose, and that we're all called to be on mission, his mission. What does that mean? It means that God has destined a unique calling for us, for every single one of us. We've been destined with a unique calling, but we need to be active in the unique calling. It's one thing to know about it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to say about one day I'll do something for Jesus, but he wants us to be active in that unique calling. The scripture that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks is out of Acts 13:47. It says, "This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I've destined you to become a beacon light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth." It's what God has called each and every single one of us to, destined us. But there are some very real challenges for all of us when it comes to being active on his mission. You know, that real world application of being on mission? We talk about on Sundays, we're like, yes, I'm going to change my world. And then we go to work on Monday. And then the kids wake up late on Monday morning. Oh, I'm just talking about my life, sorry. There's real life things that happen throughout the week. It gets even harder when people are looking at the way we live because we let them know we're a Christian. Then it gets even harder to apply it in the real world. You may not have verbalized the following question, or perhaps maybe haven't even contemplated this question. Listen to this, write this down. How do you be on mission when you feel like you are not in control of your mind? That's a good question, right? How do you do great things for Jesus and fulfill the destiny of being a beacon of light when you feel like you're not even in control of your own mind? We're going to touch on some of these things this morning because I want you to have some answers. I want you to go into your week, into your space that God's called you to, and have some answers around this so that you can start having the profound impact that you're actually called to have. Now, the scripture that's guided us this year is 2 Timothy 1:7. It says this, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We've read this scripture multiple times over the last 11 months. If you don't know it off by heart yet, you're probably not that far away from knowing it off by heart. See, our minds are both wonderful, powerful, and at different times treacherous. True, right? Wonderful, powerful, but at different times can be treacherous as well. But it can be really treacherous if we allow it to dictate our terms of living. Does that make sense? When whatever our mind says, we're like, oh, yep, that it'll just dictate what I do today. Have you ever thought about this? How can I be on mission when my mind gets in the way? It's like I want to do all these great things, but I get distracted and confused, and then someone says that, and then I sort of go into a bit of tailspin. It's real for lots of us have had to battle with these thoughts in our mind. Maybe you think that it's normal to have to live like that forever. I tell you the truth. This scripture, amen, this Bible, amen, this word, Jesus, God our Father, has given us power to actually step into something new for each and every single one of us. So we're going to answer this question today. What can I do to have a sound mind on mission? What can I do to have a sound mind on mission? This isn't a self-help moment. Let me clarify that. But what can I do to have a sound mind when I'm on mission? See, Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit, but there are some things that we need to do personally to actually outwork that in the real world for application. This is what it says. The first thing is this. We need to prepare our minds for action. We need to prepare our minds for action. This is what it says in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. It's actually scriptural. Isn't it wonderful that my point is scriptural? It's wonderful. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. It's not talking about alcohol. It's talking about having a clear mind. Not a confused mind, not a mind that's in fog or mist, a clear mind. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. In the Passion Version, this is how it says it in the Passion Version. So then prepare your hearts and minds for action. We're going to talk about hearts and minds. Because some people, oh, isn't that the same thing? Yeah, but there's a little bit of a unique difference with hearts and minds. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you follow when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. It's powerful. Basically what this is saying, you have a new identity. You've been made holy because Jesus is holy. Through Christ, you've been made holy. See, in preparing our hearts and minds for action, our heart is the very innermost core, the very core of our innermost thoughts, who we are. It's beyond just, you know, the thoughts that sort of happen around up here. It's the very core of our thought. It's the true identity right in the middle of us. Meaning it's not enough to put on a short act on Sunday morning. It's not enough to put a short act when you're in the workplace and then do something else outside of the conversation. It's not enough just to convince ourselves or others that we're doing well, you know, in that conversation. How are you doing? I'm doing awesome. Doing so good. The world could not be better. And then you go home and it's like, I'm just going to bury myself in Netflix because I can't cope with life. It's not enough to do that. There is so much more for you. We need to prepare our minds for action. We need to prepare our minds for mission. See, this preparation is daily, it's weekly, it's a life commitment of preparing our heart and our soul and our mind and our will and our emotions. It's about choosing to anchor in the hope of Jesus, choosing to be fixed in the salvation of Jesus. You know, that daily practice of doing the same irrational things over and over again and praying the same prayers over and over again. God, change the situation. I'm about to pop a bubble this morning. It's not a real thing. You can't pray the same thing over and over and over and over and over and not change your actions. It's not a real thing. You actually have to prepare yourself for action. If you want God to move differently in a certain area, you need to actually start preparing for that. Yes, send the prayers up, but don't sit back and wait. You're going to go through a couple of sofas waiting. You're going to get the... You got to do something. I say it's a faulty model. If that's been your model, it's a faulty model. Don't feel condemned by that. There's a new way for you to step into. This is why the scripture guides us to help develop us. The word says, prepare yourself for action. Exercise self-control. Stay alert. Be sober-minded. Stay vigilant. And set your heart on God's grace, Jesus. It sounds like hard work. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it's hard work. There's no doubt about it. Let's not gloss around that. It is hard work. But the catch is, as much as it's hard work, the catch is that God has given you Holy Spirit and power. God has given you the Holy Spirit and love. God has given you the Holy Spirit with a sound mind. He has empowered us. So we're not doing it on our own. It's not our own ability. God empowers us to actually make those actions and make those changes, to make decisions to be on mission, to make decisions to live with purpose, to make decisions to love well. You know, in Romans 12, verse 2, and you would have heard this scripture like a billion times, right? It's like, this is people's go-to scripture. But I've been wrestling with this scripture for like 25 years. And every time I read it, God reveals something new and fresh out of it because I'm developing on a journey at the same time. I want to encourage you, wrestle with scriptures long-term. Don't just read it once and go, that's powerful. Like, God will continue to reveal out of the scriptures. That's what it says. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. See, this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has empowered you. This Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, wants to inwardly transform you at the very heart, the very core. Not on the surface, not on the convincing actions on the outside, at the very core. God wants to transform our thoughts. I love that word. He wants to reform the way that we think at our very core. All those sort of semi-dysfunctional things, wants to reform those so it's fully functional and reflective of Christ. So what's required for this to be real in each of our lives? It's a fair question, right? We can read all these things, like, that's awesome. But what's required of us for this to be real in our lives on a daily basis? Firstly, being opened and willing for the Holy Spirit to transform. We need to be open and willing for the Holy Spirit to transform us. We can pray the prayer, but if we then don't show up on the next day and say, okay, I prayed the prayer, I'm here, I'm ready to be transformed. Could you do that, God? Could we start that journey together? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Secondly, allowing the Word of God to penetrate the deepest parts of ourselves. We can read it and we can process it up here, but to penetrate the deepest parts of our heart. That's what God's Spirit wants to do for each and every single one of us. Thirdly, take captive and destroy the thoughts that oppose God and undermine our identity in Christ. We're going to talk about that in the coming minutes. I had some thoughts I've been preparing this week, and I just want to encourage each and every single one of us. You know, if we are a people who spend more time correcting others and criticizing others, maybe the people around us, maybe you think you can do the job of somebody else better, and you spend so much time focusing on that, but you're in a continual struggle yourself personally. Maybe it's a continual struggle with sin, bad emotional practice, anger, any other mind-consuming thoughts or feelings. If all this time focusing your attention on other people and what they're doing wrong, but you personally are in this constant place of struggle, I want to encourage you, it's time to focus on your health and your well-being. You're wasting your time on planet Earth. Ouch. You literally, days go by, years go by, and you're like, I can do that job better than that person. Why do they get the opportunity? Maybe in your workplace and you haven't been elevating. If you are struggling personally with things, forget about everybody else. Forget about them. God wants to actually develop us personally, inwardly first, so that our outward actions will then be recognized. Does that make sense? I would go as far as saying this. If you're caught in that practice, and let's be honest, there are moments when we can all dip our toe in that water. Maybe some of us have dived in, but you are making yourself sicker day by day if that's your practice. And God wants to heal you of that and bring wholeness. But you have to prepare your heart and mind for that action. Jesus died on a cross to set us free, both spiritually and in this physical world. I just want to encourage you, don't perpetuate the sickness that Jesus died for to set you free of. Does that clarify it right down to the very... And no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, because Jesus died to set us free of these things. We just got to get it right here and deep in the core of our heart. I will say this, we can do this because God has empowered us through His Spirit to do this. We're not doing this on our own, not fronting up every day in our own ability, trying to rest. No, God has empowered us to do this. We have spiritual and practical power to act in Jesus' name. Another thought. I'm not sure if this one's up on the screen, but I probably should have put it on the screen. When the Spirit leads, the soul follows. When the soul is healthy, the body follows. I'll say it one more time. When the Spirit leads, the soul follows. When the soul is healthy, the body follows. Or it could look like this. When the soul leads, the Spirit suffers. When the soul is sick, so is the body. Does that make sense? All this will come together in the end. You're like, what? Where is this going? I'm saying this for this reason. When we're taking our leading from the Spirit of God, health follows. Whether it's personally, in our church, in our community, if the Spirit of God leads, Spirit of God directs, health follows where the Spirit of God leads and directs. When the mind is subject to the Word and the Spirit, transformation and wholeness develops. It's just a spiritual cause and effect. I share this today because I know that it's going to be a revelation, not just for one or two, but for many. You're struggling. Like, why am I so sick in my mind? Critical. I'm always I say things that I don't want to say. I put people down. I don't even want to do it. Why? It's time to start taking the lead from the Spirit. And then prepare your heart and mind for action to actually walk out of those practices. Amen. See, when the mind is left to its own devices, it will only lead you to a buffet of disaster. Unfortunately, it's true. I know it's funny, but it's true, right? But the mind under the authority of God's Spirit leads the soul and the body to health. Get healthy spiritually and let it actually transmit all the way through. Our mind, our soul, our body will follow in health as well. So back to take captive, the third point, take captive. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. I love this scripture. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? We can demolish every deceptive fantasy. You know, those thoughts in our minds that just like, they start as one thing and they just, within a matter of moments, it's like it morphs into this big beast of a thing in our mind, whether it's anxiety or fear or other thoughts that we know we shouldn't have. It's like it starts there and just, but we can demolish those things. We can demolish those thoughts. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Prepare our minds and hearts for action. See, often we have those thoughts and it morphs into this big thing. We're like, oh God, please take this thought away from me. Yeah, he could do that. But I tend to think that if he did that every time we had a thought, which again, we're just going to be sitting on the sofa. It's like, God, can you just take care of that for me? God, can you, it's a really bad situation that's happening over there with my children. Can you just like take care of that for me? Oh, there's been a fallout in my workplace. God, can you just intervene and take care of that for me? No, he's given you the power, the love, and a sound mind. That spirit is in you for you to prepare yourself for action, to prepare yourself to deal with those things. So, oh, I don't like confrontation. Who does? Like 4% of Australia, maybe? Like, what is wrong with them? Here's the thing. You may like confrontation, but do you like it for the right reasons? Some people just like to win the war. Some people just like to dominate the other person. You may like confrontation, but it doesn't mean that it's healthy and in the confines of a healthy spiritual revelation. I want to encourage you. Confrontation is a beautiful thing when it's done with humbleness in your heart. It can bring restoration. It can bring peace. Don't we love that? Yes, we do. I just want to encourage each and every one. You no longer have to be subject to your mind running away with thoughts that deceive you. You no longer have to be subject to that. It's like, oh, but my mind is just, it just goes. Yep, grab it, throw it on the floor, take it captive, jump on it 800 times, whatever you need to do. Action, right? Yeah. Don't just sit there and say, oh God, can you take it away? And then you just sit there and you keep watching the same TV show. Yeah, come on. Oh God, can you just take it away? Sure. Yep, but I'm going to keep reading these posts that lift me up. You have to prepare yourself for action. You got to get up and either walk towards or walk away from those things in Jesus' name. You have the power. The spirit of power is inside of you. You have a sound, clear mind in your spirit, and it wants to transform and it wants to renew, but you have to prepare the way for that to happen. You may need to remove some things that cloud your thoughts and remove some things that cloud your mind. You no longer have to be subject to those things. Deceiving thoughts, your identity. You have to be, I say that this morning, you no longer have to be captive to the identity that you once had. You've got a new identity. You don't have to hold up, oh, everyone thinks I'm this type of person, I need to keep, no, forget everybody. There's a personal relationship between you and God, and there's a personal, unique identity that God has given you in Jesus. It's the purpose for your life that God has for you. Your identity has been made new, recreated, reformed, transformed, and being transformed. Amen. Oh, I thank you for being transformed. I just wanted to take some time today to speak very clearly into this. This is very real for most humans. There are like a few humans, like Superman. It's not a human, is he? No. The power of our mind, the challenge of our mind, it's a very real thing for many of us. Maybe for all of us, if we're to be truly honest. There are moments where we have ups and downs. The idea of, for each and every single one of us, you may be praying to God, God, just make me so even-keeled that I just, God, please don't make us like that. Please don't make us so even-keeled, because then we can't enjoy and celebrate the awesome moments. We pray those prayers because we don't want to be in the valley, the depths of depression and despair. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit can give us a sound mind spiritually and in our soul, in our mind, that rather than looking like this, it looks a bit more like, oh, celebration, bad time, celebrate. It looks healthier. Transformation. You know, at different times, each and every single one of us come up against significant challenge. Who hasn't come up against significant challenge? I think it's probably easier to ask the question that way. Yeah, that's what I thought, right? It was either going to be all the hands up or all the hands down, depending on how that question was formed. Significant challenges meaning that our minds and emotions at different times feel completely weak and inferior under the weight of life. Significant challenge. What do you do when fear and anxiety and shortness of breath and irrational thoughts, negative thoughts and doubt seem so close to you that you can't see anything that resembles hope? What do you do in those moments? Now, for some of you, you're hearing me say that and you're like, I'm well acquainted with some of those things. That is real. I'm sure for some of us at different times, that's been real for us as well. Maybe it's not a daily practice for everybody in the room, but at different times, you're like, I can't see a way out of this. I cannot see hope. All I see is just a wall of doubt and confusion, all those other thoughts and feelings. I want to speak plainly and clearly around this today. If you felt guilty because you've struggled or are struggling with thoughts like these, there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no condemnation around these thoughts and feelings. Isn't that good? Breathe. Anyone who holds you to a high account around those things, maybe time to just move those people off to the side in your life. The mind is a real thing that some of us have to deal with on a daily basis. But I will say this, it doesn't mean that God wants you to continue to contend with these things in the same way that you have been. There is a spirit of a sound mind inside each and every single one of us. And God is wanting to transform our mind into a sound mind as well. Amen? Praise God for that. He doesn't want you to be at the mercy of those thoughts and feelings. That's not who He created you to be in Jesus. Again, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. The Word is empowering us to actually prepare ourselves for action. There is very real hope around these thoughts and feelings in your mind. It's like, I don't see it. I don't see the hope. I'll say it again. There is very real hope around these thoughts and feelings in your mind. This is what I love the Word of God. If you want the answers are in the Word of God. This is what it says in John 14:27. Jesus has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. How good's that? So we often read scriptures around when Jesus is speaking and say, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, comforter, going to guide you, going to direct you, going to convict and going to... So, awesome, powerful things. But I read this scripture, I'm like, this is Jesus speaking. This isn't anybody else. This is Jesus speaking. I'm leaving you with a gift. That gift is peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift of peace of mind. Starts in the Spirit and transforms our mind, amen? Transforms our soul, transforms our the innermost feelings in our heart, the innermost who we are in our heart. So what do you do when you're troubled? What do you do when you're irritated, angry, upset, confused, disconnected emotionally, over the top emotional, mean, snappy, critical of others or self, or just plain self-righteous? What do you do? What do you do in those moments? How do you prepare yourself? How do you make a start to change? This is what I love. It says this in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. I'm going to read the Message version first, if that's okay. That's what it says. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. What do you do? Oh God, just take this away from me? No. Let your prayers and praises... Don't let worry, Don't let fear, don't let doubt, don't let any of those things that I've read out before or anything else that you may be subscribing to at the moment, don't let those things take control of your mind. Don't fret or worry in your mind. Instead, petitions and praises, let them be shaped into prayers that go towards God. Prayers like, God, I'm struggling with anger so much right now. I'm struggling with my emotions right now. They are getting the better of me. Oh God, I lift my praises to you. I lift my worship to you. God, I know that your strength and power is in me. God, I pray let that transform my mind right now. See the difference between that prayer and, God, just take the situation away from me. It's like whatever's really going on in your world, allow that to be shaped into a petition and prayer that actually goes to God. Make sense this morning? It's good. And as you do that, letting God know your concerns. God, I'm concerned about how angry I am right now. God, I'm concerned about what's going on within my family. Let him know your concerns. What's really going on? Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Your heart, the center of your life. This is what it says in the NLT version, specifically looking at verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I could teach on this for about another 10 minutes, but we'll move on this morning because it's powerful. When you take those concerns with what everything that's happening and you actually lift them towards God as prayers rather than, God, why are you doing something? God, I've whinged about this 800 times and nothing's changing. Shape them into prayers and petitions and then let the peace of God actually come and bring peace in the center of your life. Amen? Preparing yourself for new actions. That's what these scriptures are encouraging you to do today. Preparing new actions. See, the truth is many of our deeper, innermost worries, feelings, bad practices around emotions, bad practices towards others come from a series of events, home situations, or maybe even a one-off event. Something so dramatic happened, traumatic happened. It's impacted us so deeply that it changes the way that we think. Like, oh, we don't talk about those things. I haven't talked about that for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We don't talk about those things. So I went to my mum and she said, oh, we don't talk about those things in the house. Oh, I went to my dad or I went to my teacher. It didn't happen. We don't talk about those things. I want to encourage you. There is a dialogue that God wants to begin inside you in those deeper innermost places. God wants to start a dialogue. We'll talk about that a little bit further. It changes the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we see ourselves. These moments can cause us to act differently at our very deepest core. And I just want to encourage you with this today. There is a road to recovery for each and every single one of us in our mind. There is a road to recovery. Now, that road to recovery starts with salvation, Jesus coming and saving us. And it starts with prayer and it starts with the power of the Spirit being activated in us. And it prepares our minds and our souls for those new daily practices. It starts with being prayed for our altar calls. It starts with being in prayer groups within your small group. There's so many ways that God cultivates the road to recovery in our mind for each and every single one of us. Simply put, this morning, there are deep things that affect all of us. And we need to set aside time to talk about those deep things that affect us. You don't think that by getting busy and elevating your job or doing more in the community or serving more at church, don't think that that's going to take care of those things. It will not. It will make you forget about that for a little while, but it doesn't deal with those things. You know, maybe, just maybe, we need to set aside time to talk to a pastor, a counselor, a professional, as well as lifting our prayers and petitions to God at the same time, as well as going to prayer meetings, as well as going to small group and being in prayer, as well as responding to a message at the altar call. Practices, prepare for action. What haven't you done before? Have you ever talked about it? No. Have you spoken to a counselor? No. Prepare for action. Let the Holy Spirit prepare your mind for action. Sound minds are coming to people in our church, amen? Now, I know that some of you say, my mind's sound. Come on, people. Let's just set aside pretense for a moment. Every single one of us has a challenge in our mind. Maybe it's that sin that has chased you for the last 40 years. It's like every day that temptation of that sin, or every day the temptation of that feeling to feel angry or to feel... We all have something. And you don't need to feel bad about it. You need to feel empowered by the Holy Spirit that He wants you to actually walk out of that and not have it as a struggle anymore. Amen? Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Why do we need to do that? You need to speak to someone, whether it's a pastor, counselor, professional. I want to encourage you, if you don't know who to go and speak to, come and have a chat to myself or Pastor Naomi first, so we can actually help. So, you know what? I reckon you need to go and... We got some counselors that we refer people to as a church. We've got some professionals that we refer people to as a church. Or you might just want to sit down and just have a yarn backwards and forwards with one of us. Wherever it starts, it has to start. Amen. Why do we need to do that? You need to learn from someone who's had experience and training or been through some things and had restoration and healing themselves personally from those buried, highly painful things. If you have passion to be on mission, but you're always getting tripped up by thoughts, practices, and emotions, I've got news for you today. You are still called. You are still called. You are still destined to be a beacon of light. But I say this, don't let those things shade your light. Don't let those things cover your light. Don't let those things quench your light. I want to encourage you, the longer you let it go on, the harder it gets. God's power is in you. Power, love, sound mind. And it's transforming us into who He's called us to be. The longer you push it down, the stronger it gets. The longer you give it free space in your mind, the more it thinks it's got a home. Anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, confusion, disappointment, helplessness, hurt, bitterness, contempt, health of your mind and body, self-righteous, anything that exalts itself over your life, you can call it into captivity in Jesus' name. That's what the scriptures actually say. You can call it into captivity in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit has given you power so that those things don't have residence in your mind anymore. You know, even today, if you feel like you've been hosting one of those things or something else today, I tell you the truth, that thing is on notice in Jesus' name. That thing is on notice in Jesus' name. It is no longer to have residence in Jesus' name. Today, you're going to make a declaration and present an eviction notice today in Jesus' name. You've got the power, you've got the authority in Jesus' name to be able to do that. The only space that you're giving from now on is a space for the Holy Spirit to transform and renew you with power, love, and a sound mind. I say this today, this is not your end game. This is not your lot in life. God has greatness and peace for you to dwell in within your mind, within your soul. It's encouraging, isn't it? That's what God's word says for us. See, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of sound is giving you to help appropriate good practices within your life. To appropriate good practices within your life. I want to encourage some of us, you know. When I was in year 12, I pretty much responded to every altar call that was ever given on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. It didn't matter what it was. In fact, one day I responded to an altar call and one of my mates was like, "Did you know you were responding to it?" I was like, "No, I just said it was the altar call time, so I responded." He's like, "Good, because you're not married, and what they were actually praying about is like not what you should be responding to." It's to people who just stepped out in their marriage. I'm like, "Well, okay. Yep." Yeah, it's powerful. But I will say this. God didn't create spiritual encounter for you to escape reality. God created spiritual encounter for you to change your reality. Don't respond to altar call after altar call to escape what's going on out there or in here. Step into the spiritual encounter so that you can proactively change what's going on up here. Yes, it's a powerful thing. It's like, no, this is an escape. I'm being empowered. I'm being encountered by the Spirit right now. And when I step out tomorrow, there's a new reality that's coming in Jesus' name because of it. You're not alone if you've struggled with any of the things that I've talked about this morning. You know, a little earlier this year, I found myself in a place where I felt completely hopeless, felt completely, deeply disappointed. Honestly, I felt despair, complete despair. And it lasted for about 3 weeks. Like, I'm talking like, when I say despair, I'm like, despair. It's not just like, I chose that word on purpose. It's like when you feel completely in despair, it's like there's nothing, no hope, no, I feel like I'm surrounded by concrete walls. After about 3 days of feeling like this, I wrangled up the courage and the words to actually pray and worship God. And it was the hardest thing that I felt like I'd ever had to do. Like, if you'd given me the choice between going through that and running 42 kilometers, I would have chosen the marathon. Because like, that would be so much easier than having to wrangle up the prayer and the words and to petition to God. It's like, God, I can't do this in my own strength and ability. I feel completely hopeless and completely disappointed. But conveying those words to God allowed him to start. All of a sudden, the deep darkness, just a crack of light. And when you're in the deep darkness, a crack of light is all you need to give you hope. It's all you need to give you hope. I prayed, prepared, worshiped, went and spoke to a counselor. You did what? You're a senior pastor. You shouldn't do that. I probably need to do that more than everybody in this room. Why did I do that? Because that's what people who are on mission do. You don't just leave it to chance. You don't just hope that you're going to come out of the darkness. You don't just hope that you're not going to be mean and angry. You don't just hope that something's magically going to change. You do something about it. You prepare yourself for action. Was it in my own strength and ability? Absolutely not. To be honest, it felt like a whimper towards the heavens. It's like, help me, God. But that's all God needed. My reliance is on him and him alone, in Jesus' name. You might be saying to yourself, where does it say in the Bible to seek counsel and wisdom? Well, in Proverbs 11:14, it says this: without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Well, it can't be any plainer than that, can it? And in Proverbs 28:26, it says this: whoever trusts his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. You know, maybe you're part of a culture or a community or grew up in a time where to expose your heart was to expose weakness. And you didn't want to be seen as weak, because when if you expose yourself as weak, you would get picked on. I want to encourage you, within this house, within this community, you are valued. And there's none of that finger pointing that will go on. In fact, if it ever does, can you please come and let me know? Because we value it so much that we're going to fight for it. What's one of the main things that our church has up on that board? Relationship with God. Yep, awesome. We're here so that people can have a relationship with God, so that we can come together and worship. But the second part is grace to all. God offers grace to all, but we also have the power and the Spirit within us to offer grace to people around us too. And I want to encourage you, if you've been wrestling with, I need to talk to someone, I just want to encourage you, take the step. There is health and healing and wholeness and peace on the other side of that, in Jesus' name. Now, I know typically in most churches, not most, in some, maybe a lot, whatever. It's not normal to talk about these things, maybe in the way that we're talking about it this morning. I just want to encourage you that we're committed to be strong spiritually, to be strong in our soul, in our mind. When I say strong, I mean minds and souls under the power of the Holy Spirit, and be strong in our physicality as well. And why do we want to do that? That's God has created us with that. That's who we are. And we just want to pay due diligence to all of those things. Does that mean that we're going to start talking about all other things that are... No. It means that God has called us to actually be renewed and transformed in our mind. It's biblical. And we want to pay some due diligence to that so that we can all rise up and be strong and not feel like we're limping in to the rapture. Amen? That's not who God has called us to be. So if I can only weather my time out here on earth, everything. No, God has called us to be powerful and at peace now, not later on, in Jesus' name. You know, you're not the only one to struggle with these thoughts. Obviously, I've shared a bit of my journey this year. But let's look at some biblical people. We're going to wrap up. King David. This is what King David petitioned in his prayer before God. I'm overwhelmed, swamped, and submerged beneath the heavy burden of my guilt. It clings to me and won't let go. You're like, oh, I didn't think I could talk to God like that. It's in the Bible. He's going through the roughest patch. Petition it towards God. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Psalm 42:11. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him, my Savior and God. Job, here we go. I'm disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. You're not the only one who's been through some stuff. Who's next? Jeremiah. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day of my mother bore me not be blessed. Happy birthday. Jesus. Oh, Jesus? He was troubled? Well, he had a mind like us too. So the answer is yes. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He's talking to his disciples. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So he prayed the prayer, God, if you can take this away from me, take it away. But if I have to walk through it, I'm committed to your will. God, this situation in my family is terrible. If you can take it away, take it away. But if I have to walk through it, your will, not mine. I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to prepare my mind for action in Jesus' name. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Through Jesus. So as we're coming to an end this morning, just as the keys comes this morning, how do we How do we fight back against these things? He gives us the Spirit with power, love, and a sound mind to fight back against these things. Not in our own strength and ability, but it starts from that power that was given to us. It starts from that power that was given to you and I. And it takes us on a journey of wholeness in our spirit, our mind, and our body. And I just want to encourage each and every single one of you, prepare for action. Be transformed. Let God move you deeply. Take captive those thoughts and delusions and make them bow their knee to God. Encounter God to change reality in Jesus' name. Encounter God to change reality in Jesus' name. Don't fret. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, God, I thank you that you've spoken to us so clearly this year. In fact, it feels like we're coming into the end of this year with strength. Strength because of the Spirit that you've given to us in Jesus' name. God, I pray for each and every single one of us. So true that the mind can be beautiful, the mind can be wonderful, and at different times can be such a battleground. And Holy Spirit, we submit to you. God, we submit to you. God, we are, through Christ, we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray even at this moment in time, personal encounters for each and every single individual, so that realities are changed day by day, so that minds are renewed and transformed day by day. Holy Spirit, even at this moment in time, for those who are struggling with real world challenges in their mind, maybe current situations, maybe past situations, maybe issues that have plagued our minds for a long time or a short time, whatever it is, wherever we are, Holy Spirit, your word says this, Father God, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And this morning, just in this moment of reflection, even as I'm praying, God, I pray that for each and every individual, any worry, any care, let them cast it and give it to God. He cares for you this morning. He cares for you. He is interested in you. He is interested in the state of your mind, the state of your spirit, the state of your... He is interested in you. Interested in you as you've come this morning. Interested in you for who you are at the very innermost core of your heart. You don't have to carry those things anymore. Don't have to carry those burdens anymore. Don't have to carry those thoughts and feelings, hurts anymore. Don't have to carry the pretense anymore. God is empowering you. God is transforming you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, God, I pray right now, even as people are toying with the idea of this, there is an exchange that God wants to make with you today. He wants to exchange any worry, any doubt, any anxiety, anything that's plaguing your mind. He wants to exchange that right now for the peace of mind. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, God, I just pray encounters happening right now in Jesus' name. Exchanges happening right now in Jesus' name. If you're watching from home this morning or online, Holy Spirit, encounters and exchanging happening where people are right now in Jesus' name. Mind's been transformed in Jesus' name. Mind's been set free in Jesus' name. Marriage is being restored and strengthened in Jesus' name. Family relationships being restored and strengthened in Jesus' name as minds are being transformed. Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit at work within you right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, even I'm just praying for everyone this morning, I'm getting this visual picture of deep down in your heart, you've seen yourself as someone who is right in the thick of things, seeing yourself as someone who's right on the edge, right on the cusp, just wanting to be a beacon of light and just be right where God is. And I'm seeing pictures of people this morning as you're walking this journey of having your mind reformed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, that who you were in times past, you're actually stepping into something new. You're going to be that deep desire to be on the cusp. You are going to be right on the edge. You're like, it's like you're just leaning over the edge. It's like, God, if you're about to move, I'm here. I'm ready. God, you want to move in a specific area in our church? I'm ready. God, if you want to do something in our community, God, I'm there. God, if you want to do something in my workplace, I'm right on the edge, because I'm being renewed and transformed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is imparting power to walk this out, to prepare yourself for those actions in Jesus' powerful name. Mighty God, I pray that as we head into the next couple of weeks, and for some people in this room and people at home, if you're watching online, you know, heading into this week is not always the most wonderful time of the year. And Holy Spirit, I pray that through this message, that as you begin to make steps and prepare yourself for action, as the Holy Spirit renews and transforms your mind around what's happened or hasn't happened at this time of the year, Holy Spirit, God, I pray, let this be the greatest Christmas season that every single person has ever had. It may not be the fairy tale that you're looking for, but it's going to be better than last year and better than the year before that. It is going to be a pinnacle defining moment in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Well, just before we finish up, I know we've gone a couple of minutes over this morning, but try and fiddle that into a message. I feel like we could probably preach 12 months on this, but that's okay. This is the start message, amen? This is the start of the journey for many people to be set free in Jesus' name. Service is going to be officially closed in a moment. If you want prayer for anything, maybe God's sort of bringing some things to the surface because of the message this morning. I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like that. I want to pray with you and talk through some things so that you walk out feeling like you're actually where God has positioned you to be. Also want to do this morning. If you personally don't know Jesus, everything that I've said this morning is going to be completely useless to you unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. Most of us should know the Easter message. Was buried, died, rose again on the third day to forgive us of our sins so that we can walk in this power. And this is what I want us to do this morning. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except do this. Whether you're in this room or at home, I'm just going to ask you to pray a prayer of accepting Jesus into your heart, accepting forgiveness, offering God your surrender of your life so that you can walk into everything that God has for you. The purpose, the direction that God has for you. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. The entire church is going to join in on the prayer as well. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that God sent you. Thank you that you went to the cross, that you were buried and rose again for me. You offered your life as a sacrifice for me. So today, I surrender my life. I ask that you come and fill me. From this moment on, I'm choosing to follow you. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.